And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. It's always hard to find a place to live in Juneau in the spring. Lawmakers and their staff members are still in town, and seasonal tourism and cannery workers are starting to move in. And thanks to a growing number of short-term rentals, this year could be even more of a challenge for people looking for a place to live. Realtor Kelly Moore says the housing crunch in Juneau this year is worse than ever.
Everybody has said that this is typical of this season, but nothing like this, nothing on this scale.
And it's especially hard for people like Bonnie Lynn Parker. Her landlord at the place she was renting with her husband for more than 2 years told her they had 6 weeks to get out. Their apartment is going to be turned into a short-term rental, an Airbnb for summer tourists.
Looking for long-term rentals as a local or looking for a single-family home has just been like the struggle of my life.
She tried to ask the property owners to let them stay just until they can move into their next home, but they said no. So starting May 1st, she may have nowhere to live.
We've been really, really panicking about where the heck are we going to live.
Juneau Assembly Member Carol Treem says this issue is becoming critical.
We're kind of reaching, for certain people, like a crisis level of housing here in Juneau, where there's just not enough housing.
You may be thinking, why not just build more housing? Well, there are some barriers to that, Treem says, like the mountains.
The city is built on the side of a mountain, so there's just not that many places to build, like where it's easy and cheap to build more housing. And then also the side of a mountain comes with a lot of risks, like avalanches and landslides. So it's even more expensive to build and buy housing.
City data shows that businesses registering as Airbnbs have increased in past years. But Airbnbs are registered per business, not per unit. So no one knows exactly how many places are being used only for short-term rentals. Treem says she expects that the city government will be discussing the housing crisis and just how many Airbnbs there actually are in the coming weeks. Last year, the city gave a tax break for new long-term rental units downtown to try and create more housing that wouldn't sit empty as Airbnbs. But that hasn't helped people like Angelique Buzek. She moved to town in the fall to be closer to her daughter, a new grandchild. Her husband quickly found a job working IT for the university. But after 5 months, they haven't found a long-term place to live. Buzek has a service dog, and that's prevented her from being considered for the apartments that she has seen.
And all you see on Facebook now for rentals is we need, and like there's nothing here for anybody.
So far, they've been staying in shorter-term accommodations, like Airbnbs. But they don't have anything lined up for May. She says her plan right now is to get a tent and find a place to camp. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. In other news, the cruise industry says Alaska can expect 1 million ship passengers to visit this season, which opens in under 2 weeks. Meanwhile, the question remains about the vaccine rates of visitors and the extra hurdles required to enter Canada. On Wednesday, HNS's Mike Swayze talked with Cruise Lines representative Brian Salerno for an industry perspective.
Brian, thanks so much for being here. I'm just going to ask you this straight out. How many people are coming to Skagway this summer?
You know, I don't have it broken down, but overall for Alaska, we're estimating about, 1.5 million passengers. That's on 600 voyages by 40 individual ships. So, the season will probably start out a little bit slower and will gradually build, but that's the guesstimate right now.
And how does that compare to, let's say, 2018 to the 2019?
Well, I think it's be roughly comparable, to, pre-pandemic levels.
I've had a lot of questions, Brian, about the Arrive Can app and, specifically in Skagway, a lot of tours will emanate from Skagway and go up into Canada. And so one of the questions I'm getting from tour companies is, will everyone that gets on a cruise ship be required to fill out an Arrive Can app before they depart on their cruise ship?
That's my understanding, yes. If the ship is going to call in Canada, and virtually all of them will, other than potentially the rare U.S. flag vessel that has no need to stop in Canada, there would be a need to complete the Arrive Can app as a condition of entry into Canada. And the cruise lines are prepared to check that upon embarkation so that it doesn't become an issue, during the course of the trip.
Okay. And then I'm told by Canadian officials that once they have filled out that Arrive Can app, it's good for the duration of their cruise, so they don't have to update it throughout the cruise, and then they can utilize that to, let's say, leave from Skagway and go up to the Yukon. Is that similar with the information that you've gotten?
That's my understanding as well.
Okay. Another question a lot of people have asked is, will everybody on board the cruise ships be vaccinated?
Sure. Well, most people will be. You know, there may be a few exceptions. Obviously, children, you know, under five aren't required to be. There's some question about whether, you know, children under 12 would be. But overall, the cruises that are operating to Alaska and certainly into Canada are going to have extremely high vaccination rates. Most will operate at 95% crew and passengers. Even those where it's just below, you know, the 95% threshold, which would characterize them as highly vaccinated, still above 90% in virtually every case. Plus, everybody getting on board the cruise ship needs to be tested, and there's very limited time windows for obtaining that test. So everybody that you're on a ship with is vaccinated and recently tested, and then of course, there's other, you know, layers of protection that are in place, you know, sanitation procedures and air filtration, and plus the ability to respond if somebody does, in fact, come down, you know, with symptoms. So it's a highly protected environment.
Brian, throughout the years, we've had a lot of international travelers come to Skagway. Will the cruise season this year look similar? Will there be an international flair, or will it be mostly folks from, you know, the Western Hemisphere?
Good question. You know, we're seeing, you know, more interest in international travel now that many of the travel restrictions have been lowered. I think we're still going to see a lot of international visitors to Alaska because it's on a lot of people's bucket lists. But predominantly, I think you're probably Western Hemisphere, at least to start.
Okay. Brian, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Take care, Mike.
That was a conversation with Brian Salerno, the Cruise Lines International Association's Senior Vice President for Maritime Policy. In other news, Alaska Airlines announced Monday it is ending its mask requirement. In a press release, the airline said that, effective immediately, masks are optional on Alaska Airlines flights and in airports across the country. The decision came after a federal judge overturned the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's mask mandate for airplanes and other forms of public transportation. Last week, the federal transportation mask mandate was extended through May 3rd so that health officials could further study the new Omicron variant of COVID-19. Today's decision makes that extension irrelevant. Recently, the CEOs of the country's major airlines had signed a request to President Joe Biden to drop the mandate, and the governors of 21 states, including Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy, sued the federal government over the mandate. Alaska Airlines had a mask requirement for passengers for 2 years. The company's press release specifically addresses passengers who had been banned from flying on the airline for refusing to wear a mask, saying that some guests whose, quote, behavior was particularly egregious would remain banned even if after the mask policy ended. Alaska is experiencing its first large wildfire of the season, and it's burning near Gweethluk. Officials say the fire is not currently threatening villages, but it is threatening Gweethluk fishware and two native allotments. KYUK's Olivia Eberts reports the Department of Natural Resources says fires around this time of year are normal.
As of noon on Monday, the fire had grown to 2,000 acres. It's burning 25 miles east from Gweethluk, 34 miles southeast from Bethel, and 35 miles southeast from Nopakiak. The cause of the fire is unknown. According to Kale Casey, a spokesperson from the Alaska Division of Forestry, the wildfire is the largest of the season so far in the state.
When you have a long, big, deep winter like we had in Alaska, that its areas are dried out and getting these 16-hour days and 17-hour days of sunlight, you're going to have that possibility.
He says tundra fires in April are not uncommon. Casey says as the spring snow melts, the sun dries out the dead brown vegetation, turning it into kindling. That kindling can quickly ignite and become a tundra fire. The Division of Forestry says it plans to investigate the cause of the fire. Commercial pilots first spotted smoke from the tundra blaze on Saturday at noon. They reported it to the state. A pilot and firefighter from the Alaska Division of Forestry's Fire Prevention Branch flew over the fire on Saturday and Sunday. Casey says though the fire is threatening two native allotments and a fish weir, it is not expected to endanger villages or lives. After hearing reports that the fire was moving westward toward Three Step Mountain, the division planned to fly over the fire again on Monday evening. In Bethel, I'm Olivia Eberts.
And as for the weather, it's currently cloudy and 44 degrees. The trend of dry weather is expected to continue this week. Tonight is likely to be mostly cloudy, with a low of 34 degrees. Northeast winds may be 30 miles an hour and as fast as 45 miles an hour. Tomorrow is likely to be cloudy again, with a high of 45 degrees with increasing wind speeds. Yesterday marked 9 consecutive days of dry weather in Juneau. But with all the rain we had up until March, it's still been a record wet year. This is KTOO.